Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Ram Goldhar, and today we're Masechas Brachas, Daf Nun Hey. So the 3 points we're going to focus. Number one, the Gemara analyzes the three things Rav Yehuda said on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, that when one prolongs them, his life is prolonged. Number one, spending a long time in tefillah. Number two, spending a long time at the table. This provides a greater chance that the poor will come and join him. And number three, spending a long time in the bathroom. The second point is the Gemara discusses Betzalel's wisdom. He was called Betzalel because he lived in the shadow of Hashem, Betzalkel, as he knew the order by which Hashem commanded the building of the Mishkan. First you build the Mishkan and then the Kelim, the vessels. Despite Moshe Rabbeinu changing the order in his instructions to him, Moshe Rabbeinu said, first build the vessels and then build the Mishkan. He also knew how to join together the letters of the Torah in the same combination as with which the heavens and the earth were created. So number one, the three things that should be prolonged so one's life should be prolonged. Longer time in tefillah, longer time at the table so the anim, the poor, will come and join him, spending longer time in the bathroom, and then Betzalel's wisdom. Number three, a significant amount of the daf discusses dreams. So I'm going to point out a couple of points here. Number one, a dream that has not been interpreted is like a letter that has not been read. Number two, a person who is troubled by a dream should have it remedied in the presence of three people. The text of Hatavas Chalom is presented in the Gemara. And number three, a person who does not understand the meaning of his dream should stand before the Kohanim at the time of Birkas Kohanim, and he should recite his supplication and try to finish it just as the congregation responds Amen, so his supplication is also affirmed. And we're accustomed to do this during Musaf and the holidays. So once again, the 3 points are, the Gemara analyzes the three things Rav Yehuda said, that when one prolongs them, his life is prolonged. Spending a long time in tefillah, spending a long time at the table so that there's a greater chance the poor will come and join him, and spending a long time in the bathroom. Number two, Betzalel's wisdom. He was Betzalel Kel. He understood the proper order of building, first the Mishkan, then the vessels. He also joined the letters of the Alphabet together and the same osios that create the heavens and the earth, Shemaim Va'aretz. And number three, a significant amount of the daf discusses dreams. A dream that has not been interpreted is like a letter that has not been read. A person who is troubled by a dream should have it remedied in the presence of three people, and the text of Hatavas Olam is presented. And number three, a person who does not understand the meaning of this dream should stand before the Kohanim at the time of Birkas Kohanim and recite a supplication as we do and try to finish it just as the congregation responds Amen, so his supplication is affirmed as well. And this is what we do at Musaf on the holidays. All right, so now we go to our Siman. So today is the first day we have winners in Zichru's Adar Choose the Siman contest, a chance to participate and select a Siman which should become the standard Zichru Siman as we go through Shas. We had literally so many different creative, brilliant, funny suggestions for it. So I want to thank everybody for participating. There's more to come. So if you haven't participated yet, you can put in your suggestions by emailing info@zichru.com. And today's winners are, we have two people because they came with the same idea. We have Mr. Morty Kornblatt from Passaic, New Jersey, and Mr. Naftali Golombek from Brooklyn, New York, who came up with the idea of the speed limit. I'm going to just expand to speed limit sign of 55. Now, just to give a little more Hesber here, a little explanation, there's a lot of Jewish history wrapped up in this simon. Because in 1973, we had the oil embargo, the oil crisis, where nations supported Israel, had an embargo of oil from OPEC. And as a result, there was a disruption in supply as well as price spikes. So the federal government instituted the national maximum speed law of 55 in this country. And that was in 1974 and went all the way to 1995. And then they allowed states to come up with variations. But 55 was the national maximum speed law in the United States as a result of the United States supporting Israel and the embargo that resulted from the OPEC nations. So there you go, rich in history, this siman. So we're going to use a speed limit sign, and here we go for our siman in brachas. Rabbi Betzalel had a dream that he planted a speed limit sign in the middle of the shul to remind his congregants that the key to a long life is spending more time in tefillah, and his shul members begged him to do Hatavas Chalom. Once again, in slow motion. Rabbi Betzalel, that reminds us of Betzalel talked about on the blot, his wisdom that he lived in the shadow of Hashem, Betzalel Kel. He knew the order by which the Mishkan should be built, first the Mishkan, then the Kelim. He also knew how to join the Osios, the letters of the Torah, in the same combinations with which the heavens and the earth were created. Rabbi Betzalel had a dream, and that reminds us that the Sugya talks about dreams, that he planted a speed limit sign in the middle of the shul to remind his congregants that the key to long life is spending more time in tefillah. And it reminds us that Rav Yehuda said there are three things that when prolonged, prolong one's life. Spending a long time in tefillah, spending a long time at the table, because it provides a greater chance that the poor will come and join him, and spending a long time in the bathroom. So spending more time in tefillah And his shul members begged him to do a chatavas chalom, because we learned that different things about dreaming. One is a person who's troubled by a dream should have it remedied in the presence of three people. That's the text of chatavas chalom. And also we learned that a person who does not understand the meaning of a dream should stand before the Kohanim at the time of Birkas Kohanim and recite a supplication and try to finish it just as the congregation responds Amen. So a supplication is affirmed as well. And we're accustomed to do this during Musaf on the holidays. So once again, Rabbi Betzalel had a dream that he planted a speed limit sign in the middle of the shul to remind his congregants that the key to a long life is spending more time in tefillah, slow down. And his shul members begged him to do Chatavas Chalom. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Ninov. So the symbol for Ninov, we said, is gnawing, like gnaw, like a gnawing beaver. And we connect that to a person wearing a beaver pelt hat. Oh, so here we go. The eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat, which reminds us we're on Daf Nun Aleph. So the eccentric who insisted on donning his beaver pelt hat when holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha, which reminds us of the 10 requirements for a kosher bracha. We have, it must be washed, there's hadacha on the inside, shtifa's rinsing on the outside, chai, it must be fresh, either that they put undiluted wine in and then dilute it with water, or they take it fresh from a barrel. It's got to be full, mole, it's got to be crowned. Two opinions. One, he who recites Birkas Mazon should surround himself with his students while doing it, or the cups must be surrounded with other cups of wine. Number six, the one who recites Birkas Mazon should cover himself with a cloak while sitting, or spread a scarf over his head, or in our case, wear a beaver pelt hat. That's called ituf. He should be taken, the coat should be taken with both hands, and then should be placed in the right hand, should be raised a tefach off the ground, and then a person should concentrate his eyes on it while reciting Birkas Mazon. So holding up his freshly rinsed kosher bracha got such a fright when he saw the Malcha Mavis standing by his butler, who was holding his shirt, which reminds us the Malcha Mavis told Rabbi Shul ben Levi three things. One, do not take your shirt in the morning from the hand of the butler. Two, do not have your hands washed by someone who has not yet washed his own hands. And number three, do not stand in front of women when they are returning from a funeral, because the Malcha Mavis, the angel of death, dances before them with a sword in his hand and has permission to harm those he meets. Then he started drinking the wine without making a bracha, which reminds us, if one forgot to make a bracha before he ate, he should make one when he remembers and then continue eating. If he's finished eating, he no longer has the opportunity to make a bracha. Daf Nun Beis. So the sim for Nun Beis, we said, is a newbie. So here we go. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, reminding us we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit had finally gotten down the order of brachas for Kiddush and Havdalah. Right? We said the Gemara was resolving a seeming contradiction in Beis Shammai. In the Mishnah Nun Alef Amud Beis, Beis Shammai holds that the bracha on Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day, precedes the bracha on the wine, because it's the sanctity of the day which is the cause for the wine to be brought to the meal. Yet in a braisa on Ardav, Nun Beis, Amud Aleph, Beis Shammai holds that the bracha on the wine precedes the bracha of Avdal, which addresses the nature of the day. So the Gemara answers that according to Beis Shammai, there is no contradiction. When it comes to bringing Shabbos, the more we advance it, the better. Therefore, the bracha on the day comes first. But when it comes to ending the Shabbos day, the more we delay it, the better. Therefore, the bracha of Adal comes after the bracha on the wine. So the newbie Yishkeit had finally gotten down the order of brachas for Kiddush Avdal when he was introduced to the metaphysics of tamei liquids touching utensils. Right, because we said that a tamei liquid that touches the outside of the keli of the utensil renders the outside tamei, but the inside, the rim and the handle, are tahor. But if the tamei liquid touches the inside of the keli of the utensil, then the whole keli becomes tamei. And wet napkins touching his hands. Now, there's no requirement of washing the hands for chulin, non-consecrated food from the Torah, since the hands are not considered a separate entity from the body and cannot contract tumah from a rishon. It's only rabbinic law that they are treated separately and considered a sheni to require someone to wash and to remove the tumah before eating bread. So this explains why Beis Hillel holds that it is of greater concern than the liquid in a wet napkin will lead to food becoming tamei when placed on a table, than the liquid in the wet napkin leading to hands becoming tamei when placed on a cushion. And that's why he says the wet napkin should be placed on a cushion. So once again, the newbie to Yiddishkeit had finally gone down the order of brachas with Kiddush and Havdalah when he was introduced to the metaphysics of tamei liquids touching utensils and wet napkins touching his hands. Daf Nun Gimel. So the symbol for Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here we go. The Nigerian prince, reminding us we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince held his fingers up to benefit from the light. We said there's a machlokes regarding the Mishnah's meaning when it says one may not make a bracha over the flame until he benefits from its illumination. What does that mean? Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that one does not actually have to benefit from the light. The bracha is made as long as the light is strong enough that one could benefit from it, even though he is standing far away and personally can't benefit from it now. Rav says that the bracha is only made when he is close enough to the light that he could benefit from it. And this is the basis for looking at our fingernails when making the bracha on the flame in Havdalah, because distinguishing the fingernail and its surrounding skin is similar to discerning the difference between two different small coins or two different weights that are similar in appearances. So the Nigerian prince held his fingers up to benefit from the light that had been lit for illumination, because we were taught that the bracha of Morei Morei Esh was recited only on a flame lit for illumination. If it was lit for other purposes, such as cooking or to honor a prominent person, singing the Beis Knesset, Beis Midrash, or to honor the deceased at his funeral, no bracha is recited. And similarly, the bracha Borei Menei Besamim is recited only for a fragrance designated for the enjoyment of its smell, a fragrance used for other purposes, such as perfuming clothing or removing the odor of a decaying corpse, does not merit a bracha. And he made a bracha on all his riches, while his champion servants proudly proclaimed, Amen. Because we said this Malchus Tanaim regarding whether it's preferable to make a bracha or to answer Amen to the bracha. So one brisa holds that saying Amen is greater than the one who makes a bracha, because Rav Nora likens it to battle, where the common soldiers engage the enemy first, followed by the elite troops who come in to seal the victory. But another brisa holds that the heavenly emissaries hasten more to bestow reward on the one making the bracha than on the one answering Amen. All right, so now we're going to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go. Number one, where do we learn why Beis Shammai holds a wet napkin should be placed on a cushion and not on the table? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number two, where do we have the different proofs that Hatova Hameitiv is a Rabbanan? That's on Duff. Mem Vav. Good. Number three, where do we learn about the four people who need to bench Gomel? That's on Duff. Nun Dod. Good. Number four, where do we learn how many bread eaters are required to make a minyan for Zimun of 10? That's on Duff. Mem Ches. Good. Number five, where do the Malkokas regarding which is greater, the one who says Bracha or the one who answers Amen? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel. Great. Number six, what are the 10 requirements for a Koshel Bracha? That's on Duff. Nun Aleph. Good. Number seven, where do we learn about the 8 places where miracles occurred that we're required to make a bracha at? That's on Duff. Nun Dalet. Good. Number eight, where do we learn the one who breaks bread should not break the bread, should not be Botzea, until everybody else finishes saying Amen, because the Amen is part of the bracha procedure? That's on Duff. Mem Zayin. Good. Number nine, where do we learn that you only make a bracha on light that was lit for illumination? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel. And good. And finally, number 10, where do we learn about one who benched and forgot to join the Zeman and what he should do? That's on Duff. Nun. Excellent. All right, so that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning. Daf Nindalad. So the simon for Nindalad is noodles. So here we go. The caterer transporting spaghetti noodles, reminding us we're on Daf Nindalad. The caterer is transporting spaghetti noodles across the desert bench Gomel, which reminds the review to say in the name of Rav that four types of people must give thanks in bench Gomel because they survived dangerous situations. One who travels across the sea, through the wilderness, recovers from an illness, or freed from prison. After finally delivering to the well-guarded Chassan and Kala, because he also said that three types of people need protection from a Zikin. A sick person, because he's more vulnerable, and a Chassan and Kala, because they evoke jealousy in the Mazikin, who are busy making brachas in the 8 places where miracles had occurred. Because we're taught that a person is obligated to make a bracha in a place where miracles are performed for the masses, for the nation, but only an individual is obligated to make a bracha on a miracle performed for him alone. And then we have the list of the 8 places where miracles occurred. We have the place of Yamsuf, where the Jordan was crossed, the crossing of Nachli Arnon, the canyons of Arnon, where the Amori were waiting in ambush when miraculously crushed in the mountains, at the stones of El Gavish, at the descent of Beis Horon. This is where the hailstones that were suspended in midair for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu later came down for the sake of Yeshua when he defended Givon in the battle with the Amori, at the stone that Og, Melch, Bashan wanted to throw at the nation, at the stone that Moshe sat on during the war with Amalek, and the remains of Lot's wife, and at the wall of Yericho, which was swallowed. All right, so now it's time for our pop quiz. 10 questions. Here we go. Number one, where do we learn why Beis Hillel says one should put a wet napkin on a cushion, not on the table? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number two, where do we learn what one should do if they forgot to make a bracha and the food is still in their mouth? That's on Duff. Nun. Good. Number three, where do we learn about benching Gomel? That's on Duff. Nun Dalet. Good. Number four, where do we learn that one can discern the way someone says brachas whether a person is a Talmud Chacham or a boor, an ignoramus? That's on Duff. Nun. Good. Number five, where do we learn about if someone has anxiety about a dream, they can do a Chatavas Chalom, they can remedy the dream by going to three people. That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. Number six, where do you learn that one should only make a bracha borei marei esh on a light that was lit for illumination? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number seven, where do you learn about the eight different places where miracles occurred that one would make a bracha on the nes that happened there? That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number eight, where do you learn about tummy liquids touching either the inside or the outside of a kli? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Great. Number nine, where do you learn about Bezalel's wisdom, that he knew the order by which he should build the first the Mishkan and then the Kelim, the vessels? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. And number 10, where do you learn about what one should do if they forgot Yal V'Yavo and Rosh Chodesh benching, whether they have to repeat it or not? That's on Daf Mem Tes. Great. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golder from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.